It is Spanning the States. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry.
Are you sure?
I am sure I'm
right,
Kristen
good.
Bry. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and last week was Children's Mental Health Week. And when we say children, we're not just talking about adolescents. Experts are now saying that promoting positive mental health in infants and toddlers could help children feel more connected later in life. So joining us now to talk more about what that actually looks like is Dr. Melanie Heindel, who is a doctor of art therapy and a licensed professional counselor at WellPoint Care Network. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I have an 8-month-old baby. Are you saying she needs to be in therapy already?
No. No. I think that's the kind of the common misconception about infant and early childhood mental health. When I first heard the term, I pictured the baby on the couch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
yeah.
like, that's,
just,
that's
like,
not what it
thumbs,
is.
Be like, it all started
with my mother.
No, it's really about like promoting attachment, promoting that connection with a regulated caregiver, working with the parent a lot about being able to foster that connection, really promoting co-regulation so that the kiddo and the parent can regulate together and move through life. And then that promotes independence and self-regulation later on, having that really strong foundation.
You bring up a point that I think would probably be one of the hardest is getting the parents on board and teaching, because some of us didn't have any of that mental health care when we were younger, so we became parents and we're just repeating patterns. How hard is it then to convince the parents that this is not only helping them, but it's helping their baby?
Absolutely. Well, I think it helps that I'm a parent myself, mm-hmm. too. So I think that that's a big piece in terms of getting some buy-in. And I think just sharing, too, you know, a lot of times things haven't been working in the patterns that have been established already. So what can we do to make things a little bit easier? And I think sometimes it's hard, too, because it is. It's putting in a lot of the work and being really intentional about your parenting. But it can pay off in dividends in the long run. And I think just framing it as that, we're really just trying to set up that foundation so that the future years just go smoother and you have that really good connection as they move into more challenging areas of their life.
So two of the words you used in your first answer were attachment mm-hmm. and regulation. So for people who
yeah.
have not necessarily
yes.
gone to therapy,
yeah.
Yeah. what does that mean?
Yeah, so having a healthy attachment is just having an adult that you can just trust kind of inherently, right? And typically it's the traditional parent, whoever's raising them, the caregiver, sometimes it's grandparents, depending on who's involved in the kiddo's life. But really just having a connection with someone that is predictable. They have them there as a constant and they know that they can experience kind of big emotions and the parent's going to be there for them, right? The parents might experience them themselves too, but they can be able to calm themselves down and be able to be there with the little one.
So, Melanie, you mentioned before that when you first heard the term,
yeah.
you pictured a baby on the couch. I'm sure there's people listening who are picturing a baby on the couch.
Right.
So let's take it. What does it look like when you're trying to work on mental health with somebody, say, up to age 10, and then the infants and toddlers?
Sure. So you get creative, you know, and I think that's why I'm well poised for this, too, because my background's in art therapy. So you just get creative in the type of work that you do. So we always say play is a child's work. So using play, and that can be therapeutic, and just being able to negotiate challenging situations through the play-based activities. And we love to have the parents involved because, you know, therapy can be 1 hour a week, but the parents see them the rest of the time, or the daycare providers see the rest of the time. So what can we do to promote and kind of continue some of that work outside of the session?
We're talking to Dr. Melanie Heindel, who is a WellPoint Network's clinical services supervisor and a doctor in art therapy. And when we're talking about this, is it preventative or is it prescription? Is it something that when we're talking about babies and kids this young, is it because
sure.
there's behavior that's needs to be addressed, or is this something that is kind of just a go-to thing now for all kids, as far as if we can get it right early, it saves us from emotional issues down the line?
Sure. I think for formal therapy services, it's more behavior based, or there's
okay.
something that's come up, maybe some trauma exposure, something's going on, you know, some different, you know, life situations that are happening that are impacting the little one. But I think generally parents can kind of listen and maybe key into some of these key aspects and just be able to integrate them throughout their days with their little one. And just being able to, again, kind of foster that. There's a lot of really good social media pages around this topic, really good online resources, little like dosing, little tidbits that parents can get that just help kind of, you know, implement this into their everyday life.
A lot of it sounds to, like just what we used to consider normal parenting.
Sure.
You know, and so you're supposed to spend time with your children and you read to them and play with them. And kids are going to misbehave and have issues. So what should parents be looking for to go, okay, I'm, you know, my child is two and we've done all this. We've spent a lot of time together and, but there seems to be something. What are we looking for?
Sure. I think some of the big pieces, would be, you know, difficulty regulating emotions beyond age typical. So really not being able to settle down for an extended period of time and that being kind of an ongoing basis. I always say kids, I mean, when they're starting to, I have a almost 4 year old and an almost 2 year old. And that part of that is just a developmental milestone.
Right.
They're pushing back and they're testing their limits. And that's, you actually want to see that. But when you can't calm them down, right? And they're really struggling, maybe significant separation anxiety, really not wanting to leave parent to go to school, difficulty with transitions, difficulty in, different scenarios like going to parties or to, you know, shopping at the grocery store, you know, having someone, you know, provide some expert opinion can always be beneficial. We also do occupational therapy too at WellPoint. And that's another piece too that can really help assist and help with like daily life structure, routines, transitions, things like that, and really help provide that support to the parents.
I have no idea if you have any data on this, but is there fundamental data or proof that shows if you can get it right early, how that might curb some of the teenage depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety that we've seen such an uptick in?
I was actually just looking at an article yesterday about not necessarily related to that, but if we can get the co-regulation piece where we can be in tune with our kids, right? It can actually lead to greater life satisfaction later on in life. It can lead to higher financial gains. I mean, just the impacts long term, because it increases their ability to self-regulate and be independent and be able to kind of manage their own emotions. But absolutely, I can even just say anecdotally that's what we would see too, is if you can have that nice, and we always say stress is not the enemy. You know what I mean? You can have stress and that's a normal part of life. We don't want kids to live in a bubble, but how we respond to it, how we can kind of manage it and provide that support around the kiddo when stress happens.
You talked about attachment a lot, and obviously the attachment with parents is the primary and the most important. But if people work and they send their child to an early childhood center or a babysitter, does that count? Does that kind of consistent attachment play into everything
Absolutely.
Else we're talking about?
Yep, absolutely. And I think that, you know, for generations, we've had caregivers in our society, too, and it's no different now. And those are key figures that we have. And I think finding a caregiver that you trust and kind of has a similar philosophy to you in terms of caregiving styles, I think that can be really huge. And we don't appreciate and value, I think, our paid caregivers enough
right.
because they do some significant work and provide second parenting to our little ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Last question, is there any resources you would recommend to parents
sure.
who have little ones as far as their mental health goes?
Sure. So I'm with WellPoint Care Network. We do a lot of infant and early childhood mental health and art therapy. There's also the Wisconsin Alliance for Infant Mental Health that has some really great resources on it, a National Alliance for Infant Mental Health. Locally, Penfield Children's Center is another great resource. So there's a ton out there. Even if you just do a quick Google search of early childhood mental health, you can find a ton of stuff.
All right. Well,
sounds good.
Dr. Melanie Heindel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
News Time 124. This is Spanning the State.